Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus, who is the Christ. Amen. Man was riding in the back of a taxi cab, and they were driving through the city, and he had a question for the taxi driver, so he bent over and tapped him on the shoulder. Excuse me. And the taxi driver screamed, and he pulled the car and started going into the line of traffic. The bus was coming. He pulled the car over this way and went up on the curb, and he slammed on the brakes and just stopped before it hit some pane glass. And the guy in the back, there was quiet, and the taxi driver was sweating, and his face was pale white. And the guy in the back said, "I'm sorry, I didn't mean to disturb you so much. I mean, I just wanted to ask you a question." And the taxi driver said, "Oh, well, that's okay. This is my first day driving the cab." The guy said, "Oh, okay." So, well, the guy in the back seat said, "Well, what'd you do before this?" He said, "Well, I used to drive a hearse for 20 years. Old habits die slowly. When you're dead, right? There should be no surprises. Except when Jesus is around. Except when Jesus is around." You've heard this story before from the gospel. Jesus' good friend Lazarus died. Mary said you should have been here earlier. Jesus waited 3 days to go see him. Jesus wept and told Lazarus to come out of the tomb. With Jesus around, there is life. Victorious life. Everlasting life. Jesus gives us life that never, ever ends. That's the promise we have. Jesus says, "You have everlasting life in me." You know, we all experience death in our lives. And the older I get, the more funerals I find I'm going to. And there is weeping, especially when you love somebody so much and they die. It's sad. Oh, they might have an illness for a long time, and you're preparing for it, but on the day of the death, it's always a shock. Or some people go to bed and fall asleep, and then they die suddenly, and that's a shock too. But all of us know the grief, the sadness of death. I mean, we celebrate, my mother would have been 95, November 1st. She was born on All Saints Day, very appropriate. I still have tears. I miss her love. If it wasn't for her, I wouldn't have known the love of Jesus Christ as powerfully as I do. And we all have lost grandparents, spouse, son, brother, colleague. They're dead. They die. And it's sad. And there are tears. Each of our lessons talk about there are tears. It's sad when a person we love is no longer here. In fact, in our Christian tradition, we call death the enemy. When Christ returns again, that'll be the last enemy to be defeated, is death. When the kingdom of God comes and God's will is done on earth as in heaven, there's a new heaven and new earth coming down. See, we're not going anyplace. It's coming to us. And these days, you know, we tend at times to put our elderly and sick into nursing homes, and then we go to the funeral, and the undertaker does the best they can. Never really looks like the person. And it always makes me kind of say, "What? Doesn't she look good?" In fact, one person, "She looks better now than when she was alive." I said, "Why?" Of course, my dad in the casket, he had a little smile on his face. And I said, "Maybe he knows a secret that he's going to let me know someday." But see, in the old days, years ago, it wasn't anything like that. If somebody was dying, they usually were at home and you were around them. And people, friends would come and family would come and there would be prayers and people sometimes would sing hymns and they would talk and read scripture to the people. And the dying Christian person in their home, sometimes their last words were so important and they were recorded, like, you know, keep the faith and love one another and don't take each other for granted. These things that be kept and passed on to children and grandchildren. The last moments were so important. In fact, as you watched how a person died in your family, you learned how to die. You learned how to live and appreciate the gift of each moment, not taking it for granted. In fact, in our Lutheran tradition, we have the details of Martin Luther's last few moments on earth. On February 18th, 1546, Pastor Justice Jonas, a friend of the family and a pastor, was summoned to Luther's bedside because he was dying. And when Pastor Jonas got there, there were friends and family. Luther always had a bunch of people in his house. They were around him praying and some weeping. But Luther was unconscious. So Justice Jonas, he got Luther and he shook him. He said, "Dr. Martin, Dr. Martin, good doctor." And Luther opened his eyes. And the pastor said to Luther, "Reverend Father, will you die steadfast in Christ and the doctrines you have teached?" And Luther said loudly, "Yeah, yeah." And then a few moments later, he died. Then what? Then what? Well, with Jesus around, there is always life. Yeah, there are tears and grief, but the lessons talk about in Christ, the tears are wiped away. There'll be a time when death will be no more. Mourning and crying will be no more. So as Christians, we enter our grief in faith that there's more than. A trust that when the person takes their last breath on earth, it's their first breath of eternal life. And somehow that life goes on. How? We can only conjecture. We don't know. But in the meantime, we have the promises through Scripture. We have our prayers. We have a vision of the new heaven and new earth. And we are to live now in that reality, in anticipation of God bringing it to fruition and to fullness when he returns. But in the meantime, we live and pray and love and try to follow the way of Jesus and the power of the Holy Spirit, knowing our loved ones somehow are that great cloud of witnesses. They are praying for us, rooting us to go on for eternal life. And we don't know exactly what happens after death. We know that life is promised to us. But we can have our Christian imaginations affected by the Holy Spirit so we can imagine. In fact, Albert Einstein said, imagination grasps the real. And Martin Luther had this Christian imagination. One day, his little boy, Hans, said to him, Fati was German for daddy, my friends have a question. They have a question. What's heaven like? Lip in Jost wants to know what heaven's like. And Martin Luther said, my dear Hans, what's heaven like? It is like this. I know a lovely, glorious, and sweet garden. Within it, there are many children. They have coats of gold, and they are picking apples under the tree, and pears, and gold and red plums, singing and playing happily. And they are playing whistles and drums and violins and other instruments. They are dancing and playing with golden toys. And I know a wonderful meadow in the garden where you will dance. And there were golden pipes and drums and beautiful toys. Oh, my dear Hans, you tell your friends Lip and Jost that they should always read Holy Bible and pray. Read and pray and prepare now for that good life that is coming in Christ. You know, one of my privileges and gifts of holy times as a pastor is to be with loved ones who are ready to leave this life and go into eternal life. And I have many, many memories of these wonderful saints have prepared me more than prepared them and helped me. And a dear saint, in fact, it's Tom's wife, Sally, I was there just before she died. And she was at home at the time, and it was a bad storm out, thunder, lightning. And I said, "Boy, Sally, it's terrible outside." It's just, she said, "No, it's beautiful. It's beautiful." And she had a vision. Because she had, at that time, you know, Tom, they had three young girls. One of their girls now, but Lauren, right? She's an audiologist. She said, "I need a hearing aids." And Joan tells me, "Yeah, you need hearing aids." And they were little girls then. And Sally had this sense of peace about her. And she said, "God let me know that love and goodness are on that side, and love and goodness is on this side. Pastor Fred, it's going to be okay. I'm going to be okay. My family is going to be okay. And I know Sally's okay, and I know Tom's okay, and he married a beautiful wife, and they have beautiful, wonderful girls, and he's a grandparent now." Sally's vision from God was a gift that was true, and it's okay. There's another wonderful lady that Joan and I knew growing up in our neighborhood. She was head of the Cub Scouts. Three of her sons became Eagle Scouts. Her name was Janet, and she was a lovely lady. She fought many years breast cancer. She'd go into remission, and they would come back, and her boys were still pretty young. And I had a chance to go to McGee Hospital, where she was dying. Her family was there, and we prayed, and I had prayers of commendation of the dying with her. She was a lovely person, and she's another person. You were around, and you just felt the presence of God in a deep faith as she was dying of cancer. She had this faith, and her funeral was at the Byzantine Catholic Church in Stowe Rocks. And of course, there were tears, and her three sons and her husband, they were grieving. But there was also a sense of Christ, because Janet believed this, and her husband believed this, and her kids believed this. Christ was there. Well, they don't understand why she had cancer. They don't understand why she had to die. But they know that God was with her, and God was with them. And even in the sadness of the tears, there was the faith. Oh, what we have as Christians in the church, to have faith in the midst of all the things the world has and comes at us and death. We have this faith. We always have our victorious Christ. And our physical death, which, unless Christ returns, many of us will experience, is the little death. For Christians, the big death is when we die and rise with Christ in our baptism. So you've all died already, and you've risen with Christ already now. And when we physically die, that's a little death. Well, the Christian church would say we fall asleep in Christ and wake in his likeness. And there's three births. One, it's our physical birth, like October 27th. Judy was turned, I won't say how old she was. She said how old she was. Your physical birth. And you celebrate your birthday, which is great. It's your baptismal birth into Christ. You receive the Holy Spirit. You become a saint in Christ. April 17th, 1952, I celebrate that day. I was born again. And when you leave the earth, you're born again into eternal life. That's your third birth. So you die twice as Christians, and you're born three times. And when we die, we're going to hear, "Fred, wake up. Welcome to heaven." You're going to hear, "Dick, wake up. Welcome to heaven." "John, wake up. Welcome to heaven." You're going to read, "Wake up. Welcome to heaven." You're going to hear, "Larry, wake up. Welcome to heaven." You're going to hear, "Jim, welcome to heaven." And they'll be the saints. That's my Christian imagination. And there's going to be that's going to be like our Oktoberfest. And there's going to be but we're not going to run out of sausage. We're going to have enough sausages and mashed potatoes. And we're going to drink all kind of beer and not get drunk. And it's going to be a joyful time of celebration. Well, as I was looking at this sermon, I came across this wonderful hymn by Egil Hovland. He's a Norwegian hymn writer, mystic, and he wrote this hymn, "They will walk through the gates of the city." And this is what put some of those verses. "They will walk through the gates of the city and be gathered together again. Oh, they will walk towards the portal of heaven to be to an unknown world where there is no pain. And they will be singing, singing, yes, singing a new and jubilant song. They will meet with their friends and their family whom they lost to the earth long ago. They will play with the saints and the angels in God's paradise. They will dance their joy, and they'll be singing, singing, yes, singing a new jubilant song. They will meet with the Lord of creation. They will gaze at his wonderful face and be changed by the light that is shining from the throne of God, the Son of Grace. And they will be singing, singing, yes, singing a new and jubilant song. And the peace of God that passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, our risen Lord. Amen."